Revelation chapter 11. Well, we've been seeing how the book of life, the scroll of life, is to be opened when Jesus comes back. And so the seals are taken off it, and you take off the seals altogether pretty well to open a scroll. These are all events which are going to happen around the time of the coming of Jesus. Then we saw in chapter 10 the coming of Jesus to the earth, described in terms of an angel coming down to earth with a scroll in his hand that's now open. Now, we said that Jesus is not an angel, he's greater than angels, but that's what John saw to represent this. And now he's shown another aspect of all this, because at the end of chapter 10, he's told that, well, you must now tell the gospel to all nations, races, languages, and kings. It's as if at the very end there is this great appeal, desperate appeal to all the world. And I suggested that the events so far are talking about the land or the earth that was promised to Abraham, specific events within the territory between the river Euphrates and the Mediterranean Sea, basically. So I was then given a stick, which was really a measuring rod, and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count those who are worshipping inside the temple, but don't measure the outer courts. They've been given to the Gentiles, who will tread down the holy city for 42 months. I will send two witnesses who will be dressed in sackcloth, and they will preach during those 1,260 days. Now, 42 months is 3.5 years, because there's 12 months in a year, so 42 months is 3.5 years, and that is the same time as 1,260 days. So this is why you could imagine 3.5 years of some particular trial or tribulation, specifically on Jerusalem, the holy city. Now, 3.5 years is the same period, the same time period, that Elijah did his ministry in, when he prayed that there would not be rain in Israel so that Israel might repent. That was also 3.5 years. The ministry of Jesus was for 3.5 years. So this is a significant period. So the two witnesses, these are those who are going to do the preaching, are the two olive trees and the two lamps that stand before the Lord of all the earth or the land. If anyone tries to hurt them, fire comes from their mouths and destroys their enemies. Now that is exactly what happened with Elijah, that the fire was brought down by him out of heaven to destroy those who were against him. So clearly, this is a witness being made in the spirit of Elijah. And in this way, whoever tries to harm them will be killed. They have power to shut up the heavens so that there'll be no rain during the time they proclaim God's message. Well, it was Elijah who prayed to God that there would be no rain for 3.5 years. And here, these two witnesses also close the sky so there's no rain for 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. So clearly, these two witnesses are in the spirit of Elijah. You remember, Jesus said that Elijah will come first, and then he will come. So I think what it's saying is that there will be a witness in Israel for 3.5 years. And the intention of closing the heavens and all that, so why was there a famine in Israel for 3.5 years? Why was there this drought? It was to bring Israel to repent. And so this is, I think, what this is talking about, that the holy city will be trampled, Jerusalem will be trampled for 3.5 years by the Gentiles, and yet at that very same time, during that same period, there will be this witness to the whole world, and specifically to Israel, to try to get Jewish people to repent. Now, of course, we can start that process now, and we should be doing that, going out to Israel and preaching and so forth, to prepare for that. And who knows, maybe it's already started. Maybe the 3.5 years already started. Although it does specifically say here the Holy City is to be trodden underfoot for 3.5 years. So don't think that Jerusalem is going to remain in the hands of the Jews. It isn't. That is a myth. In Zechariah chapter 14, it says very clearly that the enemies of Jerusalem are going to take Jerusalem. Jerusalem is going to fall. It says that the city shall be taken, and the women are going to be raped, and the houses are going to be robbed, etc. This is clearly going to happen. And then Jesus comes, and the Mount of Olives splits, we're told in Zechariah. Of course, he left the earth from the Mount of Olives, and the angels said he will return to the Mount of Olives in the same way that he left. So, don't think that Jerusalem is going to remain in the hands of the Jews. It isn't. It's going to be trodden down by the Gentiles for these 3.5 years. And whilst that's happening, there will be this witness in the spirit of Elijah to try to get the Jews to repent. They also have authority over the springs of water to turn them into blood, and they have authority to strike the land with every kind of plague as often as they wish. Well, this is the language, of course, of what happened to Egypt. In order to let God's people go, and also, of course, to get Israel to repent, to realize that they should leave their idols behind, as Ezekiel says, they were worshipping idols in Egypt. In fact, God thought about destroying Israel there in Egypt because they were so wicked. When they have finished their testimony, their witness, the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit will fight against them. He will defeat them and kill them. And their bodies will lie in the street of that great city where our Lord was crucified. Now, of course, Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem, so it's clearly talking about that. The symbolic name of that city is Sodom and Egypt. So, don't think that the Jews and Jerusalem are full of righteousness. They're not. God's view is that that city is Sodom and Egypt. And people from every nation, tribe, language and race will look at their bodies for 3.5 days and won't allow them to be buried. The people of the earth or the land will rejoice because of the death of the two witnesses. They'll celebrate, send presents to each other, because those prophets had brought much suffering upon them. But after 3.5 days, a breath from God will come and enter them, and they will stand up. And all who see them will be terrified. This is clearly talking about what happened to Jesus. He was crucified in Jerusalem, and then after 3 days he rose again. And so what it's saying is that their sufferings, our sufferings in the last days, are going to bring us into direct fellowship with the sufferings of Jesus so that we will also share in his resurrection. And then the two prophets heard a great voice from heaven saying, "Come up here." And as their enemies watched, they were snatched up into heaven in a cloud. This again is just what happened to Elijah. At that moment, there was a great earthquake and 1/10 of the city fell and 7,000 people were slain. The rest of the people were terrified and praised the great God of heaven. The second woe is over, but the third woe will soon come. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign for ever and ever." Then the 24 elders who sat on thrones before God fell upon their faces to the ground, and they worshipped God, saying, "O Lord God Almighty, he who is and he who was, we thank you that you have taken unto yourself your great power and reigned. The nations were full of anger, because the time of your anger has come, and the time for the dead to be judged, the time to reward your servants the prophets and all your people, all who have feared you, great and small. The time has come to destroy those who destroy the land." God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark was revealed there, and there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hail. So again, this is describing, in other words, the final taking of the kingdom to Jesus when he comes back to the earth. And we see here the two witnesses who have been killed, well, they are resurrected. and they are snatched up in the clouds to meet Jesus, which is what Paul says in Thessalonians is going to happen. So then, it's all looking like the beginning of all this is coming together, because Jerusalem currently is in, is half of it anyway, is in the hands of the Jews, and yet it's going to be trodden down, it's going to be taken, and Jerusalem now, Israel, is surrounded by extremist people who want, above all things, to take Jerusalem for themselves. There's a great shift in radical Islamic theology that we want Jerusalem. This is what they want so much. And, of course, Israel refuses to give it up, and it's become a great point of contention. And so the focus will continue to be upon Jerusalem. And that's what you see spoken of here. So you can see the situation beginning to come to, into position, let's say. But the important thing is that we should live every day as if Jesus is coming back today.